Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
And here we are. Hey, hello. Welcome to episode 32 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show with your life with WordPress. I'm Adam with my buddy, my cohort, my compatriot, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Say hi, Kyle. Nice. What's up, dude? Hey, man.
Nice. It's do you have a heater, a space heater in that space behind you? Or something going
on?
No. I hear a little, just so you know, I hear a little a buzz.
This microphone is sensitive. I think that's the washing machine in the basement below me.
Okay. All right. Well, we're doing laundry, people. So.
All right. The spin cycle will be done soon.
Great. All right. So besides doing laundry, what else is up? What's new? We took a week off Thanksgiving. Well, we had an episode last week.
Right. Thanksgiving episode. So my favorite episode ever.
Actually, so we didn't take a week off last week. We're back. And we're recording right before this episode ships because we're going to hit the road.
That's right.
Yes. I'm so excited.
We're going to Nashville.
I am so excited, honestly. I really am.
I've never been there.
I've driven through twice in the last 90 days.
All right.
I'll be back.
We're going to have a blast, as we always do.
And we're staying together, right? No, we're not. So I can't surprise you in any capacity this next weekend, can I?
No. At this point, nothing you do surprises me.
Oh, I see what you did there. All right. Well, so
this U.S. trip is interesting. Just personally for us, like when our daughter came in at the end of August, we canceled a couple trips that were coming up to go to a couple WordCamps, including yours.
I know.
And all this time, these past 3 months, we've been talking a little bit about like, WordCamp US, though, what should we do? Should we still go? And we changed our mind dozens of times.
Yes, I know.
Day we're like, no, we should just, I mean, it's the holiday season and we've got a newborn and stuff. We should just sit this one out. And then we're like, you know what? No, we should go. It's fun. You know, we want to raise our kids to try, you know, just see the world and just travel. And other parents are like, this is when they're easy to travel with.
It's true.
So
it is.
So
it is much easier now.
Yeah.
It is.
Gosh, but then, you know, all the holiday bills come up and we're like, wait, we should just sit this out. Just change our mind. Or maybe I should just go, or maybe this or that.
I think Ashley should just go.
Yeah, just Ashley should go, yeah. Sure.
Ashley, she's like a younger sister that I always wanted.
Well, we're going. So if you're attending WordCamp US and you see anybody walking around with a brand new baby, that might be us.
Yeah.
Because Abigail is coming. She is attending WordCamp US.
Her name's Abigail? I thought you told me her name was Adama.
Whoops. Yeah, you should start listening a little closer. But she's this will be her second WordCamp.
Nice. I'll be two for two. I've been at both of them that she's been at. Score.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. It'll be fun.
Cool. So anything else going on work-wise? How was your Cyber Monday and Black Friday for your sales as far as the companies that you have investments in?
Shoot. Some Black Friday, Cyber Monday, it's a big time of year. That's when we really double down and every other month pales in comparison to the sales we do at the end of November every year.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Good.
Especially for all of our products at Sandhills Development. We met or exceeded our hopes. Mm-hmm. For sales volume, and it was a huge success. So a lot of work went into making it happen, but we did really well. My side projects did modestly well.
Nice,
you know, good, it was a good month.
Yeah, I did okay as an affiliate on a chunk of things. Just talking to our buddy Dustin, and you know, a couple $100 based on listeners and, you know, people are waiting and they're using thanking me by using my links, which is awesome. I didn't do anything for concierge this year at all. I'm trying to revamp some of that workflow, so I didn't want to even consider taking the time to add to my life of stress. I didn't want to stress about it and try to think, oh, I'll get this fixed and fix it. You know, the site itself is going over under some renovations in the back on the backside, so maybe next year, you know. And it's fine. I'm totally cool with, you know, that. So, you know,
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
It is. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I've been doing a bunch of client work. It seems like all, and it's not, it seems like, you know, I say all of a sudden, or it's like, wow, I'm slammed all of a sudden. And I know a lot of freelancers, and we do that. We go up and down with the quantity of work, but I also think it's the old iceberg analogy. It's like, you know, a lot of work goes into it. Underneath the waterline, the last year, I've been hustling and working and trying to make connections and talking to people. And then a year later, a little over a year later, I'm busy, which is good, you know. So, you know, and as you know, I'm trying to launch the side thing of my side thing. So Concierge was kind of a small thing. It was a side thing originally, and that's now the primary brand that I have. And I'm now trying to launch a little subsidiary of that, and that's very close to launching. I'm just trying to work out a user registration, user registration / profile builder issue, so people can change them. So once that's ready, I'm launching, baby.
There's a lot of like fun catchphrases that play on the always thing. The in sales, you say always be selling,
always be selling, always be closing,
Right. The devs might say always be testing or something like that.
Yeah.
So. Well, when it comes to you, it's always be launching
or always be ideation. I'm all about ideation.
Always have a new thing.
I do.
But I'm glad you got a lot of stuff going on, and it's super fun to have your text messages now and then about the fun client projects you're doing, which remind me why I don't miss it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the client work. Most of my clients are not listening to this podcast, so. There's that.
You're complaining or anything. No. Even if your clients are.
I'm not complaining. It's just
you're solving hard problems right now.
I'm solving
my problems anymore.
Yeah, just the littlest little things. Like, you know, I'm using Opt-in Monster for something for a client for a full screen. They're doing a big campaign, and one little piece of code from a third party plugin. Well, it comes down to the fact that I acquired a new client from a friend. You know, a bigger agency. They're no longer doing client services, and they refer people to me. That's great, but they have. They built the site, so it's like diving into somebody else's code, right? So and it's just you don't know what you're gonna see. Not that it's bad, it's just that I didn't build it, so I don't know all the intricacies of things. So yeah,
right.
Anyway, so anyway, there's that. All right, so hey, what's new and up the news and the updates? I'll read this first one and you can comment on it. 10Up has a new product. It's called the distributor plugin. Apparently you can share content between WordPress sites. So it's no different than any other sharing site service, right?
No different. I don't know. I mean, now and then you see cool dev shops like 10Up release a product here and there. I mean, they've done it before with a handful of things. You see companies like CrowdFavorite and Human Made and Modern Tribe and agencies like that. Now and then, you know, they're like, hey, you know, we made a product too on the side. And,
yeah, you know, check it out.
It's kind of cool. And they tend to be pretty sweet and pretty well made. And I could totally imagine that they had some enterprise clients demanding features like this, and they just turned it into something they could distribute. And funny enough, it's called Distributor Plugin. But it looks like it has a really intuitive experience for those use cases where someone is publishing something on one site and wants to push or even pull that content to another site, maybe something else on that multi-site network or just some other WordPress site. There's a lot of use cases that one might not think of right away where this is applicable. It's kind of a common thing in certain contexts, but mostly I just think it's a pretty elegant tool for this. So there's a lot of out there like syncing or migrating content tools that are a little more, I don't know, of a hassle. For this process, this just makes it really easy. If that's your problem,
it's your problem, all right. I mean, you know. So,
anyway, it's just cool.
Check it out. Yeah, check it out.
You can find it on the 10Up blog.
Yeah. Oops, I made noise there. Sorry if you guys heard that in the recording. My bad. I screen captured something. Anyway, moving along.
There's another article here. Yeah, next article we've got came from WP Tavern.
This is awesome.
This post.
This was
and
brilliant.
This was an interesting. Post a surprising development. I mean, the topic of Gutenberg comes up all the time. Everywhere we look, we can't even hide from it, no matter how we try.
Right.
But this post is about the Taylor page builder.
Right.
Plugin. I've never used
as a plugin. Nor have I.
Yeah. It was discontinued by its owners And their reasons are...
Well, first, it was discontinued by its owners, which is Enclavely Inc. They bought it from Andrew Warsfold back in 2016. So Andrew sold it.
Right.
Enclavely bought it. People were happy that it was going to be keep going and do well because it had good reviews, and there was 3,000 installs of it. And they're shutting it down. Why?
They cite competition and Gutenberg as the reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is a company that acquired their product and just months later said, we're not going to do anything with this. Yeah. We're shutting it down.
And the blame, most of the blame is combination. It's Gutenberg, competition, and Pippin Williamson.
Pippin praised this plugin in his post.
Right. But I think that's the problem. I think because it wasn't the only plugin in his post that he praised, there was two others. No, I'm kidding. So, but yeah, sure. It's interesting that it was a standout out of all the plugins that Pippin did that long, lengthy plugin, page builder plugin review post, which was amazing. I mean, it really was. But it was one of the three that he recommended. And even with that, Enclavely felt like they couldn't and they won't invest any more money. They can't invest any more money for ongoing development. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's interesting and unfortunate. It really is because again, we all have ideas about themes and and shops and stuff. So at least I do. So
I don't know. I guess it's not that surprising that something like this happened. We're maybe like reaching this culmination, this plateau of page builders. Who knows? This critical mass, whatever the term is, for this point where there's a butt ton of these page builders out there.
Like 65 and or 75 of them now,
Maybe the market is getting saturated. Maybe a few of them are like, we just can't compete. Page builders are hard products to develop, to innovate with, to support. Gosh, I don't want to support a page builder. That sounds like a nightmare.
Right. It's not so much like, I remember Jen asked about this. Jen Miller, I think, sent in a question way back about, is Gutenberg going to cannibalize page builders? And then she even asked me before she asked the show. And the answer is maybe, of course, or it depends, as we always say in WordPress. Mm-hmm. And then the other issue there is really, it's not going to be about how it's built, the technology, the back end. Like many people say, it doesn't matter that we do WordPress development. What matters is we offer value to small businesses or businesses in general that need our help, our expertise in this field. So what's the value add? You can build a page, great, but what else are you going to do for them? Get them online, sure. But maybe some SEO, maybe email marketing, whatever it may be. It's time to take your skills up to the next level. Do something more.
Sure.
That's going to be my new slogan. Concierge WP, do something more. Doing something more. That's such bad grammar.
Yeah, that's whatever. Cute.
Yeah, thanks. Okay.
Anyway.
That's the name. That's the title of this episode. Doing more for your clients. There you go.
Okay.
So the third thing in the news was my favorite. It's honestly my favorite. Yoast wrote a blog post, Yoast from Yoast SEO. Video backgrounds suck. Ban them from your website. I love this post. This was so good. Why do you need a video background? I dare you to state, just that his take on it is that video backgrounds are like sliders, the new version of sliders. And he has this, we'll link to it in the show notes. It is by far an awesome, awesome post. And I agree with it to some extent. I don't have sliders, nor do I have video in my personal site backgrounds. My clients do because they want that. And I'm like, okay, I try to convince them not to. They don't listen. My favorite are sliders with really oversized images, not optimized, that pan in and out like the old, what was the thing on PBS, the zooming effect. That's those
like the Ken Burns?
Ken Burns. Style? Ken Burns. Those are my favorite because those don't take up bandwidth. Oh, my God.
Gosh, yeah.
Oy.
I loved this poster, too. And Yoast, years ago, wrote a post titled Sliders Suck. And that was just a classic, which was on the list that I of posts that I referenced all too frequently on my vendetta against sliders.
And in your talk at WordCamp San Diego 2 years ago.
Right.
That was the best.
It comes up. I don't know. It hasn't recently as much. Maybe I'm just not speaking as much anymore. But the video backgrounds, That's a fun take that mm-hmm. they're like the new slider.
Right.
It's definitely a trend.
It's
totally a trend. We're going to look at websites and be like, oh, you can tell that when that was built.
That was 2016, 2017.
Yeah. because it's got our video background.
Yeah,
that was a fun trend. It totally is. there's not a lot of real value that video backgrounds contribute.
No, they're great for distracting people. I mean, I think Trump has one on his website.
yeah. Anyway, it's a pretty cool post. I mean, whatever. There wasn't a ton of substance in it. It's really very opinionated,
right?
Post, but despite that, I still pretty much agree.
Yeah. So anyway, so we'll link to those in the show notes if you guys want to check out those articles as well. Read the whole kit and caboodle on those. Anyway, hey, anyone we know moving or changing jobs?
Oh, great question. No.
Yeah. I mean, I do know someone's still looking. I spoke to him last night, actually, for some PHP possible work, but I think he called moments too late. I got somebody else right before him for now, I think. Yeah, probably. Sorry, buddy. He listens to the show, so awkward. A little awkward now. Anyway, so, but you know. All right. Hey, Kyle, what you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking?
Cool. Right now, I've got a Word t-shirt from InMotion Hosting.
Oh, it's not Microsoft Word?
No, it is not Microsoft Word. I don't know what that is. I've got a hoodie that says Empowered by WordPress, which I... These are really old.
Yeah,
I got these years ago at some WordCamps and stuff. And,
what you drinking?
Oh, yeah, right now in a GiveWP glass, I'm sipping on a homebrew that I made. It's an American IPA, and man, it is strong. It is powerful. This is aged pretty well.
Nice. Nice. And in a WP Give class, that's actually kind of funny because I was working with GiveWP. Is it Give or WP Give? Which way is it? I don't know.
It's GiveWP.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you were wrong. So cool.
And what?
What? Pint glass. All right, writing this down for the show notes because it's so important. Hey, and not that you asked, but I am wearing a Do What You Love WeWork t-shirt, which I love because I love doing what I do right now. And ironically enough, WeWork was in the news today. It's a co-working space. They bought meetup.com for like what, $4 billion?
Oh, I didn't even...
It was a couple billion in there. Yeah, it's a lot of money. Yeah. So WeWork is growing. It's huge.
I didn't even know WeWork was that large.
Yeah, WeWork is making meetups great again.
Yeah, yeah. Remember your resolution for next year.
Oh, next year, okay. And yes. I am drinking a little bit of water, but also, again, once again, I went ahead over Thanksgiving. My parents were here, and I got a six-pack of Sweet Baby Jesus, the beer. It is a chocolate peanut butter porter. It is so good. And, yeah, is that all? No, and I'm reading, by the way. I started reading a book again. I picked up the book, The Autobiography of a Yogi. I think I might have mentioned that in a previous episode, but I'm reading it again because the first time I got through, like, first chapter and I got distracted. It is a really dense book, but it was mentioned by Steve Jobs that he read it when he was younger. So I'm like, you know what? I'm giving it the good old American try once again. And it's actually really interesting. So I'm like into chapter 5 or 6 now. So, all right. So that's it for that segment. Hey, Kyle.
Oh, hi. Sorry. Yeah, I'm here. What's up, man?
What were you doing just there?
I was just sipping on some beer.
Okay. All right. So you know what time it is?
I'm not sure. What time is it?
That's right, people. It's questions time. That's right. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready? Are you ready, Kyle? Let's do it. Let's go.
Hey, All right. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
That was all awesome. Right.
You want to ask?
I'm excited about this. Yeah. We've got some good questions today. We've been having some really good questions pour into our queue.
Yes.
Not that we don't have room for yours, dear listener, but we've got some special ones for you here on episode 32. Our first question comes to us from an anonymous listener.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, yes, someone wanted to be anonymous when they asked this question.
Yeah. I should get a sound effect for anonymous.
Yeah. You can narrow them down, though. If you really are curious who asked this question, all you have to do is look at the attendees list for WordCamp US, because it's one of those
people.
2,000 people, right. Or however many there are.
All right, so ask the question.
The question is, this year is my first WordCamp US. What are your top tips to get the most out of it? Any must-dos, best events? Thank you. Mm. Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Great question. Yeah. Adam, what have you got?
Nothing. Do nothing.
Care to elaborate?
Okay, fine. I think, you know, first and foremost, you want to prep. So WordCamp US is in the same location 2 years in a row. So last 2 years was in Philly. So this year and next year will be in Nashville, Tennessee. So I would prep this year for next year. You really want to play the long game here. So first and foremost, when you book your hotel, when you have a hotel, help the hotel staff. Help with the laundry, help with the luggage, help clean the rooms. It will get you a boost in next year's rate. Not a boost, a reduction in rate or a free room or a suite. Trust me on this. Just do that. You'll get a better room the second year. Trust me. Really, I mean, Anonymous, you just got to trust me on this one. Yeah, you want to just, you know, help out. Just don't just be a taker. Don't just be a guest, if you will. You know, if you're going to be there for 4 days, you know, do your fair share. That's what my dad would say. Right. Do your fair share.
Right. Tidy up. Put your branding on the elevators.
Right. Wow. As far as must-dos, again, I've never been to Nashville, so I can't tell you. There's always the after party, the big after party. And I can tell you right now, there are plenty of pre-events. I would stick away from go-karts, just me personally at the moment, for any pre-events. But if you can go to events, if you are an outgoing person, that's great. If you're not an outgoing person, also, you should attend, but find smaller events. You and I went to last year's event. We went with both camps last year, the last 2 years. And I can tell you what I will not do this year. I will not go to overly crowded, small venues where I'm screaming to talk to somebody. Not going to happen. Just, you know, for the Thursday and Friday night stuff. Saturday night is the after party. And those are usually held in a much larger venue, like the museum last year, which was awesome. It's a great big museum, plenty of space to walk around, talk to people, sit us on a side and network and whatnot. So those, some things there as far as hotel, as far as after parties and events. As far as the camp goes itself, you know, pace yourself. You're not going to see every session. You very well may be overwhelmed and just realize that's okay. Just pace yourself. So, and just make connections and talk to people and be, do what you need to do to take care of yourself. First and foremost, self-care is number one. Don't try to be everything to everybody.
Okay.
What do you got?
All right. First, it's important. Don't make anyone feel uncomfortable. That includes yourself. So what you want to do when you first get there to this big, humongous, crowded event full of strangers, you need to be a heat-seeking missile straight for familiar faces and just cling to them the whole time like you're a pair of leather pants and they're in Motley Crue. Just stick to your familiar faces and don't interact with any new people. All right.
Wow.
That's the best advice. That way, no one feels uncomfortable.
I feel uncomfortable already thinking of leather pants and Motley Crue. I'm just saying. I'm feeling already a little icky and awkward. But continue, please.
All right. Fair. Anyway, that is silly advice, of course, because you want.
Real quick side note. I love you, Kyle. All right, go on.
Aw, shucks. Well, I think it's important to interact with as many people as possible. There's a few things that go through my mind when I attend big events like this. And also, it's worth noting that this event, while it's big, it's not huge, huge. I mean, a couple thousand people is like...
Won't even be a couple thousand. I think they don't cap it, but they've thought it would hit over 2,000. US has not yet. 1,700 to 1,800. So
sure. Yeah. Like it was last year.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of people by WordCamp standards, yeah. But like
most camps,
all kinds of conferences and trade shows that you go to, tens of thousands of people. And this is nothing. But still, it's going to feel large to most of us. I like to remind myself frequently that it's only 2 days. Don't waste it. Because I have all kinds of tendencies that many of us do to just fall back on associating only with people who are friends of mine. Some of my best friends are going to be there, a lot of familiar faces. And I could fall to the temptation of just associating only with them. And I like to avoid that. It's hard not to do that. It's really easy to do
right.
But
I mean, you and I always joke about the fact that we often go to camps together and we don't hang out a whole lot together. I mean, if we stay at the same house or something, it's one thing, but we don't. And I think it's almost, I compare it to the marriage, you know, a lot of times my wife and I, Elle and I, will go to an event. We don't have to be on each other's hip because we are A, individual people, and B, we live together, you know. Yeah. But I see you, I talk to you almost daily, if in some capacity, Slack, chat, iMessage, whatever it may be. But when we go to camps, we know we hang out a little bit, but I don't feel like we have to, because we both do know a lot of the same people, different people. You know, we have an overlapping circle of friends, but it's good to meet new people, right?
Mm. And you realize, yeah, it's really important.
And
yeah.
You can't, you realize you can't see everybody. There's no way.
Totally not a chance. Nope. I used to have a plan a little more formal of all the people that I really had to see and talk with while I was there. And I, at best, I'd get like a third of them.
Yeah.
And leave like, doggone, man, that's all the people I never even got to talk to. Just be at peace with that reality. You won't get to.
Right.
I don't think it's, we should ignore the people that we're familiar with. I'd say acknowledge all your familiar faces, maybe even go out of your way to make sure that you do acknowledge everyone and begin to build relationships with the people that you met at the last event you attended, or people that you've been talking with online in Slack channels. This might be the opportunity for you to meet in person people that you've just been virtually chatting with in Slack or on Twitter for a long time. That's the case for us all the time. So don't waste this opportunity, and remember that there's hundreds of other people there who are feeling pretty intimidated and alone. And so the majority of people are extremely receptive to your greeting and acknowledging that they exist. People just love and appreciate that more than we, really appreciate. If you go to lunch, go with someone, don't go alone.
Totally.
If you go to a session, sit with someone or take someone with you to go to that session. Deliberately sit at a table with strangers for lunch. Mm-hmm. I try to do that as much as I can. It's so tempting to go to lunch and see 100 tables and a dozen of them are familiar faces. And it's hard, but it's worth it to deliberately choose a table that consists of mostly strangers.
Right.
Really, really worth doing.
Yeah, I do. I remember doing that. I do it all the time. And it's okay. Here's the thing, though. If you go sit with strangers and you introduce yourself, or if it seems awkward and you're not feeling a connection, it's okay to also excuse yourself. It really is. Don't think you're going to offend somebody else, because they're probably just as potentially uncomfortable as you are. You know, you're not going to mesh well with every single person. You're not going to, you know, different voices and different takes on things across the board. But give it a chance. Give it a shot.
I've been to so many of these things now and had so many conversations with people where it didn't take long for me to realize, this conversation isn't a great fit for me right now.
Right.
Maybe this individual that I'm talking to maybe doesn't know when to end the conversation. I've been in a lot of those conversations where I was like, gosh, I wish I could get a rescue right now.
Yeah.
But those bothered me before. Like, doggone it, I used to try and feel out or avoid those kind of scenarios. But now I've just grown to understand that, you know, they're going to happen. They're never going to last that long. You're going to get through it. It's not a big deal. And you could interact with different people in the process and learn something in the process by putting yourself out of your comfort zone. That's always good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a balance, honestly, Kyle. You want to step out of your comfort zone, but also, you know, if you need to take a break, take a break. If you need to step outside for some fresh air, do that, because you don't want to feel like you're so raw. I think a lot of people, you know, there's a big thing in that, you know, in the community of WordPress, you know, in what we do, people are, a lot of people just don't have that, I don't know the word, but you know, they're not the outgoing personality necessarily. They like to be around people, but they don't get energy from it. Like, some people get energy from crowds and a lot of people don't. They're afraid of that. So be uncomfortable to a point, you know, out of your comfort zone. But if you need to step away, do so, and don't feel bad that you have to do that.
That's true. I totally need that. I get serious social fatigue at these things. I'm a very social person. I love to see these people. I look forward to it so much, like it's a holiday. But still, this is the guarantee, is that if you see me at 3 or 4 p.m. in the afternoon, I'm standing, you will not see me speaking. You'll see me standing maybe there with other people. They will be talking. I'm not even capable of conversing.
Well, because it's like seven shots and three sheets to the wind. That's your middle name. So
not at that point. No, I don't
have Kyle McMauer.
I think if you've been to or if you're planning on going to sessions, it's always good to remember that every single speaker has at least some degree of a minor panic attack before ascending the stage, and just appreciate the work that they go through and the difficulty it is for them to stand up on that stage and speak to such a big audience of their peers, and go easy on them. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like that needs to be said. And sometimes people like you and I, Adam, have a lot of advantages in conversations. When I'm approaching and talking to strangers and meeting people for the first time at WordCamps, I feel like I do have a few a leg up in some situations, because I have things I can bring up. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm talking to somebody that I want to meet, someone I consider a peer, introducing myself to them for the first time, I can bring up like the fact that one of these days I'd love to
have you on the show.
Have you on my show.
Right.
You know, that really helps conversations. We can talk about that. And it gives me like a reason to be talking with them, not just like, I read your blog. or, you know, there's camps that I organize and events and like do speaking and, you know, this and that. Grounds to start conversations, or the company that I work for is fairly well known in this community. So that helps my conversations. So whoever asked this question, reflect on what your advantages may be, what your conversation starters may be that you can fall back on.
I can tell you right now, after knowing you for as long as I've known you now, what, two years at least, I get more, how's it working with him? Is he cool? People always want to know how it is with you. You know Kyle? Yeah, I know, I do. I do a podcast with Kyle. You know, it's interesting. I find that really sad that they don't ask about me anymore. But whatever. I'm kidding.
Sure.
All right.
Jason Cosper tweeted something, shared a link to a blog post earlier today that I just thought, this totally fits with the question we're going to answer today. And it's the Pac-Man rule. I loved it. Jason tweeted it, and it was a blog post by Eric Holscher.
Okay.
And the Pac-Man rule is that concept of like, when you're talking to other people at an event, if multiple people are present and do, without thinking, form a closed circle, that it becomes very unapproachable to people and intimidating. There may be people who want to approach some or all of this conversing party, but due to the fact that the circle is in a closed shape, it becomes difficult for them to do so. Very bold for them to do so.
But that's the end of your time. I'm sorry. That's the Pac-Man rule.
Embracing.
I couldn't resist.
Very funny. Very funny.
Thank you.
The Pac-Man rule is deliberately always leaving an opening, like the mouth of the Pac-Man character.
Gotcha.
In these conversation circles, just as a practice, making sure that it is always open and inviting for new people to join the conversation anyway.
Yeah, it's good. It's true. It is true. And I honestly, I go out of my way where I'll see people coming up to a crowd. If I'm talking to people and it's clear that they don't really know anybody in the crowd, or they may know me, or they just want to be, I will turn and open myself up and say, hi, I'm Adam. Simple as that, you know, and go from there. So
yeah.
Do the same. Yeah. Pass it forward. Pay it forward. Something like that. So there you go. There's some options for you, anonymous. Well, that was one question. All right. So, all right. We're going to ask the second question. You ready for that?
I'm ready. Hit me.
So this is a new little segment we're going to call the personal question, because it's going to be a personal question that I may ask Kyle from time to time, or he may ask me. So this is the personal question, Kyle. You ready? The personal question.
I'm excited. A new segment for the show. This will be fun.
Yes. So tell us, if you would, why does it seem, from my perspective, knowing you the way I do, how it's super easy for you to come up with songs and lyrics for our battles and the show in general? You know, you come up with an idea, the way I come up with, you know, new business ideas.
I'm not that good.
Well, thank you. But you come up with, you're like, hey, what's your process? How do you figure out, like, okay, this will make a good song? You know, we use good loosely, but you know what I mean. What's your process? Like, how do you decide that, yes, I want to talk about Gutenberg and rhyme? You know, how do you do that?
That's so fun and such a flattering and humbling question at the same time. So thank you. This fun personal question. Yeah. New listeners to the show may not be aware that I am... Well,
musical.
Maybe lacking in talent, definitely a prolific writer of musical jingles, and many episodes past on this show feature some of my pitiful attempts, my onslaughts against our listeners.
Because I, you know, honestly, in all honesty, for the people listening, and as you know, you'll send me something. Hey, what do you think? I go, I think this is good. I think it has potential. And then it grows on me. It may be like hokey or maybe a little weird or this and that. My biggest usually feedback is the fact that I kind of know what you're saying because I know you, but you need to, obviously the mixing, the production quality is hard when you record and sing yourself. That's the hard part. Mm. So the volume of the audio might be too low. The sound, the song might be too high anyway, but
yeah, you're an audiophile. I mean, you know that stuff really well,
but the key is I'm still amazed that you can do that. I don't have that skill. You know, I can do a couple of things on harmonica, but I just don't have the ease of doing it the way you do. I have other things that may be easier, I guess. I don't know. But so how do you do it? What is the process? Like if I say, hey, come up with a song for next week's episode and make it about, you know, short codes, what would you do?
I would love it. And that is not an intimidating challenge to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like something that I'm confident I could do. Yeah. Not necessarily confident that it would be something fun to listen to, but that I could make one.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, we all have the things that we can do. Songwriting isn't something that I think I was born with at all. It was a skill that I deliberately chose to cultivate.
Right.
So probably 10 years ago, I said I want to develop the skill of writing songs.
Did you say it just like that, like Ross Geller?
I said it in such a way that it conveyed the same thing. And I was just very deliberate.
Okay.
I said, I don't want to just write one song this good, because I was learning to play the guitar and had friends who were great musicians. I wanted to learn how to be able to write songs. And so I studied that quite a bit over the years and developed good habits around writing songs. I think the best habit that I developed was learning to throw everything away all the time. I would probably momentarily throw the question back in your way, like, how do you write jokes? Because you used to do stand-up a lot, and I used to do a lot of musical performing. I would write songs for that. So I'd prepare. And the thing that really helped my songwriting abilities was being able to let go of everything and know that if it's good, it will come back on its own.
Right.
Like the next day, I'll find myself absentmindedly playing this song, or it'll just be stuck in my head and it won't go away. But just as a habit, I got to the point where every day that I would practice, I would go and play for 15 minutes and I would write an entire song, start to finish. And write the paper, write all the lyrics down and all the chords, and then I would just throw it away and leave.
Wow.
That was just an exercise helping me not write songs, but develop the skill of writing songs.
Right. No, it's a muscle like anything else. You know, my degree in college was theater. It's a muscle. You have to practice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It takes a ton of practice.
And then it becomes second nature. I think that's the key there, right? It becomes easier.
Yeah.
It may not be easy, but easier.
I'm
honestly fascinated by this question now. Like, to you, I'm like, I did not see this answer coming.
I retreat deep into the woods.
Well, I thought you were gonna say you go to Fiverr.
No, in the silence, I channel my inner McCartney and I patiently wait for up to a day for the seeds of music to be tenderly planted in my fertile consciousness.
Wow, that was deep. Who wrote that?
yeah, well, words are fun. Yeah. Kurt Cobain used to say that there's a musicality to words, and mm-hmm. I appreciate that. In my traditional songwriting, I work more on the musical aspect and just fit words to it. In my satirical songs, like the junk that I write for this show sometimes, hey. That's usually just a series of random reflections. Randomness is just right. a fun challenge.
I'm going to surprise you one of these days. I'm going to write a song for the show.
They're typically very, very hastily thrown together
yeah.
for this show. And I think it shows. But there's something
I don't
about...
Think, I don't think I don't people... Know. That's the thing. Here's the thing I can tell you from my experience and being your elder is that never negate your work. People don't know what you did to do, get to that point. People don't know if you spent 5 minutes or 50 hours on it. They don't know for the most part.
I think they know. I think they know.
And on that note, we should move on.
Okay. You right. know what? Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Before we move on to the next question, I just want to shout out to Sarah Dunn. Okay, that's all.
All right. Hey, Sarah.
Okay.
You're awesome. Yeah. Did you see her latest posts? They were really good.
I did. I saw the tweets that linked to them. I have bookmarked them. I have not read them yet. So. Client work, people. Client work.
Yeah. She chose a niche, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, I do want to read that. So, all right. Last question. You want to ask this
last
one?
Last question comes to us from Lisa Snyder.
Yeah.
And Lisa asks, and it's a long question.
Do you want to do the whole question? You want to just shorten it?
Lisa. Lisa's a first time writer to the show. I think I'm gonna do her the favor of reading the whole context. She says, last night, I was unable to fall asleep and mulling over the issue of how to help my client manage the get-to-know Gutenberg process. One-on-one training, small group training for local clients, figuring out if this will even be a problem. Will my clients want a solution like that? So many questions. I set up a test site for myself to dig in a little bit each day to how Gutenberg works for posts, pages, CPTs, widgets, custom fields, etc. Figure out which types of themes and plugins might not work well with Gutenberg, what stuff might need to be replaced or adjusted. It feels overwhelming now. I don't know if it's the appropriate time to bring it up to a client, since I am not sure if the core implementation will be in 3, 6, 12 months or more. Not sure how many website owners, users are even aware of the situation. So what should I be doing to prepare my clients for Gutenberg?
Okay. Well, I think first and foremost, great question. And thank you so much for sending it in. I really do appreciate it. I don't think Kyle does, but I do. and I finished my beer. I think to prepare for Gutenberg for your clients, first and foremost, maybe you might have to dust it off, but get out the VHS and watch Short Circuit and all the Police Academy movies. That'll help you with that'll help you with Gutenberg, Steve Gutenberg. That's who we're talking. Steve. That's how we're talking about, right? No,
you need some new jokes.
Oh no. Are there any other famous Gutenberg besides Gutenberg? Hey, there's Gutenberg and there's Steve. So,
yeah.
All right. So, I think you're actually on the right track. I honestly think the options that you're doing are perfect at the moment. The fact that you have installed a dev server. You're digging in a bit every day to learn how it works is the right thing to do. There's no other way to get around that. You have to know what it's going to do. And if you've done any time with it right now, let's say you've done it for a week, 2 weeks at the moment of the beta, you're ahead of me. You know, I've barely touched it because I don't want my clients to know anything about it. I use Beaver Builder. So, you know. Right? I mean, no, I think you're right. And it goes back again to the conversation earlier about page builders and about Gutenberg and how it may change the landscape. It's not going to be the end all. It's going to be about what value you bring to the client. You know, if you're going to teach them one-to-one, that's fine. You know, come up with a process, come up with something that's duplicatable, repeatable, and price accordingly. Because if you teach someone how to fish, they don't need you to fish anymore for them. You know, if you're going to provide services, that's a different story. So,
I think you need to tell the customer, every one of them, that they will be needing a major upgrade to their visual editor soon, and only you can do it. And you will be working to create a new experience for them, which will be compatible with pending browser transient node upgrades. And then take full credit and bill every client for this massive enhancement that they're getting.
Wow.
Someone should at least profit. Why not you?
Hmm.
Am I right?
That's an option. That is an option. And thank you. Good night.
Well, I think I would remember that very, very few clients are as familiar with the content editing experience in WordPress as you are. Mm-hmm. Many of them, honestly, will barely notice, and some won't at all. To them, it is just the software looking a little different than the last time they used it.
True.
So I wouldn't even ever mention Gutenberg. When a release candidate comes out, what I would do is create some side-by-side screenshots, send them a polite note telling them that the editing is going to be getting a big upgrade soon. And just inform all customers that, hey, just a friendly note letting you know that that experience is going to be getting way better. It's really cool. And this is coming pretty soon. The important thing, though, is to be positive about this to clients, because it doesn't matter how you feel about this change in WordPress. You are going to be way better off presenting this in a positive light,
right,
to the client. Tell them this is an upgrade. Tell them the editing experience is going to get better and easier. And this is awesome. This is one of the blessings of the wise decision you made to put them on WordPress.
There you go.
They get fun, free upgrades like this. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't pay anybody. There's people out there working for them. Upgrade their site and make it better.
Man, I didn't realize you could have such a slam dunk on an answer.
You never knew. 32 episodes in.
Finally
starting to earn my keep.
Yeah.
All of this is beneficial to you because it gives you a completely legitimate reason to touch base with all past clients in a personal, caring way. So you can start conversations with them where you're the hero, you're the expert. You're saying, I understand this software and I just wanted to, you know, let you know about this cool thing that's coming. You start those conversations, those can be quite fruitful and keeps you engaged with all of your past customers. And it can even, if this is your style, offer you an opportunity to offer something more to your customers, like a consultation about a site audit if you want to. It could be plugins that they can remove now or technical considerations worthwhile, or maybe staff training that they need that could be paid for you. So if that's your style, you know, engage these customers once again.
It's good. It's good stuff. I mean, it's actually probably better than watching Short Circuit or the Police Academy series.
I don't know. Those were pretty good. Yeah. I only watched the first two or three, though.
Yeah. Well, you were what, like two when they came out? If that.
I still liked them. I still liked them nonetheless. The sound effects and stuff, you know.
Okay.
Where were we?
I don't know. All right. So I think that's the end of the show. Last thing is GOP will be at WCUS. That's right. This show, us, well, not the show, Kyle and myself, as you know, will be at WordCamp US this week. If you are around, we will have our phones, but actually I've dug out my old recorders. You see the photo I posted on Twitter? I dug out recorders. I'm showing them right now to you.
A handheld
recorder. Yeah. We're here to record your questions. So we're going to find you. If we meet you, if you want to just ask us a question that we'll put on the show, we'd love to have your audio file. We'll be there. Looking forward to meeting you, making new friends, meeting new faces, seeing old friends, etc., and seeing old faces. And that's it. So we're going to wrap it up. Kyle, take it. Wrap it up. Get us out of here.
Thanks, man. Oh, you're so cool. And this has been episode 32 of the Get Options podcast. We want many things, but maybe the thing we want the most is your questions.
Yes.
You can send them to us, a long list of all of your concerns about the future of the platform you're building your websites on, all of your concerns about which beer to order when you go to a bar every night, or what you should be doing with your life when you're at an impasse or you're at a crossroads.
That sounds like
struggling with what to do.
That's a whole separate episode.
At your wit's end.
No, that's a separate show.
When you're looking for the needle in a haystack, when your boat isn't floating and your candle wick has run out.
I know. I'll play a song right here if you don't just wrap us up.
Send the questions to questions at getoptionspodcast.com.
Thank you.
Go to our website, punch a few into the contact form there anonymously, or give us a voicemail. There's a sweet feature on our website where you just record your voice and we'll like play it on an episode and people can hear your voice and get a break from ours.
That's right.
That's awesome. Yeah, we'll play it on a future episode. So send your questions to us. And maybe follow us on like social media or something like that. I don't know why, but you can. You can follow me at Mr. Kyle Maurer on Twitter. You can follow Adam at
Hey Adam Silver, or over at Kitchen Sink WP. And you can follow us as a team, if you will, or on Twitter at @get_options. That is the show.
Or not.
No, you want to follow us for sure. That's the show. Probably. And we will talk to you next week. See ya. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.